Let me tell you about the program actually hitting the road. We're going on the road for an in-person segment on Monday evening in Medford at Common Block Brewing. We're taking our underground history segment out of the basement and off the airwaves and into a real public room. So join us. It'll be me, Chelsea Rose from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, and a couple of experts, Roger Roberts and Chuck Eckelstein, talking about pioneer cemeteries and some interesting tools they have for exploring those. Underground histories are our archaeological segment. It's not a grave robbing segment. I want to make that abundantly clear. But that'll be Monday at Common Block Brewing in Medford. You can get settled in anytime after 6 p.m. The presentation will start at 7. So that's Underground History Live at Common Block Brewing in Medford coming up this Monday. I hope you can join us. Activity at the Oregon State Capitol picks up in a week and a half. Starting Monday, February 5th, the House and Senate reconvene for what everybody calls the short session of the legislature. Until a few years ago, the legislature did not generally even meet in even-numbered years. Legislators got together on the odd-numbered, non-election years, struggled with the budget and a lot of other stuff, and went home after 6 months or so. Voters agreed to establish a regular short session of the legislature on even-numbered years to take care of business that needs attention. With no budget to create, priorities can be wide open. The legislature does not have to come up with a new way to fund Medicaid since ballot measure 101 passed this week. Let's talk about what could happen in Salem next month. Two guests join us. Senator Alan DeBoer, Republican from Ashland, joins us by phone. Senator, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. And Representative Pam Marsh, also of Ashland, a Democrat, is in the studio with me. Welcome to you.
Good morning.
So both of you voted differently on what became ballot measure 101, House Bill 2391 in the legislative session. Pam Marsh, yes. Alan DeBoer, no. Any particular surprises for either of you in the election results, Pam Marsh?
Well, I think it was a tremendous affirmation of the legislature's work, and I think it was a statement by Oregonians across the state that we care about health care, and we believe that we should invest in it and move toward a system where all Oregonians are covered. So I thought it was just, a tremendous vote of support for the work that we've been engaged in.
And Senator DeBoer, did it work out pretty much as you expected?
Well, I actually supported the measure. I voted no because the cost containment measure changed what we'd promised them we wouldn't do on how we pay Medicaid on PEB and OWEB. Mm. And so I was kind of a protest vote, but was prepared to vote yes in case we didn't get our two-thirds majority, and actually supported it.
All right. So you basically just had the chance to vote no and did.
Well, the hospitals were really upset when they came with a tax on themselves for about $500,000 or $500 billion. And then we lowered the payments on insurance payments from the state to them by determining what Medicaid, and that was a promise. So both local hospitals were really upset. And Senator Jackie Winters, our minority leader, actually got that, so it didn't start for 3 years. So in the long session, we can deal with it. So it would really hurt our hospitals, which are now starting to lose money, which what we really need is our local hospitals to have adequate surplus for things and to be in a positive. So the whole thing's a concentrated effort. And of course, I was involved with Salem National Community Hospital, so I'm very familiar with hospital finance and especially underfunded retirement plans.
So, right. Well, we'll get to underfunded retirement plans in just a moment. Just in general terms, though, Senator DeBoer, it's the first short session for either of you. I mean, what have you been told to expect from colleagues, and what are your own expectations about what could or should happen?
Well, when we voted on the short sessions as a voter, it was supposed to be for emergency, such as if 101 failed, and I appreciate the voters passing it so significantly. So it should be just fixing problems, not doing all sorts of things and all sorts of bills. And from what I understand, I researched the last two short sessions, and they turn into just a horrible thing for citizens because there's not time to vet. There's not time to take input. So it should be there short. It doesn't have to be 35 days, but I understand it will actually be a very trying time and not a pleasant experience.
Why? What's the major issue that you think will make it a trying time, Senator?
Well, the cap and invest program is something that's not ready for prime time, and there's just too much in it. And that'll be something that's ran through. We should be there just for emergencies, and that's why. So we don't have to call a special session, which is real harmful to elected people to all of a sudden have to go up without planning. Mm-hmm. So we need to keep government simple.
All right. So, Representative Marsh, what are your expectations for your first short session, and what do you when you can start to move us into this discussion of cap and trade, cap and invest,
whatever
your choices are?
Well, first, I would say I think I have a different perspective on the short session than Senator DeBoer. It is true that when we went to a short session in 2010 with the vote in the Constitution, the initial expectation was that this is a time of correction to fix things in the budget, to pick up legislative issues that needed to be addressed immediately. But I think over time we have realized that we are living in complex times. We are confronted with a number of broad, complicated issues that simply can't sit on the back shelves for 2 years and wait for action. So increasingly we are seeing short session as an opportunity to address those, and I think that will be no different in the upcoming short session. The major issue that Alan referred to is one that I've been significantly engaged in over the past year, and that is the development of legislation for a greenhouse gas emission cap and invest system, basically to address the climate issues that we are seeing unfold in front of us. And we can talk more about that if you'd like to.
Well, I'm sort of marveling at the moment, though, about the number of different names. The cap is always there, but it's either cap and trade or cap and invest, and if you're a critic of it, it becomes cap and tax. But what you're basically talking about doing is setting some limits on greenhouse gas emissions, taxing or giving permits to what goes above that, and then taking the income from those permits to put into what?
Well, basically, it's a market-based system, and it's an approach, an economic approach that's been used many times before in the nation under Republican and Democratic leadership. By creating a market and setting the expectations, then all businesses understand what the rules are. They have an opportunity to equally decide how they are going to cope with the new limits on emissions. They can decide to buy their allocations from the market. They can invest in innovation. They can look for new technologies. They can trade with each other. It's basically the fairest way, in my view, that we can go about reducing emissions. There may be an income stream that develops from that. If there is, we'll look at investing those in underserved communities, in innovation, in research, and really furthering the goal of the legislation. But make no mistake, the legislation is about reducing emissions.
Yeah, you describe it as not very much about bringing any income in.
Well, that's really a secondary factor. I think we've had a lot of emphasis on that. But the goal of the whole effort is very certainly to set a clear policy direction, to set a cap. The cap reduces over time, meaning that we actually have a chance at getting at our emissions target, which is 80% below our 1990 level of emissions.
We are talking to Pam Marsh, Oregon State Representative from Ashland, and Senator Alan DeBoer, also of Ashland. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The legislature opens on February 5th for up to 35 days. Senator DeBoer, what troubles you about cap and trade, cap and invest, whatever you want to call it?
Oh, I like the theory of lowering emissions. I like the things cleaning up and meeting the goals. What troubles me is the, you know, it started out at $700 million per year that was going to be put on basically public utilities, which has to be passed on. You know, I got a letter from a farmer that has to truck their products, and, you know, diesel cask goes up 17 cents. So the ripple effect through the economy. We've also experienced massive fraud. And so when we create a pool of, you know, at the low side, $350 million a year to $700 million a year, the state's been totally inept in how they deal with that money. The fraud and waste is incredible.
You're talking about generally across the state or fraud in specific programs involving energy and emissions?
Generally in energy and emissions, what we call the Betsy credits was the problem. That measure 97 that we voted down, when people said corporations didn't pay taxes, it was because they were buying these credits for 70 cents on the dollar. And then we as taxpayers were giving them 100% credit on their taxes. I want to make sure the program works, that it lowers the expenses for people in moderate homes and people with low income, so we don't drive their utility costs completely out. And we just need more time to discuss it. Even some of the Democrats that are writing this bill said it's not ready yet. So I doubt if it gets out of there in this program. It doesn't even start for 3 years. So the thought of waiting 12 months and then giving it proper time, we've got to make sure that we're not wasting money And we have a huge problem coming in health care. Measure 101 that the voters passed is a temporary stopgap. The problem is going to get worse, and we're waiting for the federal government to come up with what they are going to do on Medicare and Medicaid.
All right. So a couple things here. Number one, when you say Betsy, that's not a woman's name. That's the business energy tax credits. You sounded a little exasperated at that point, Representative Marsh, when there were allegations of fraud in state government. Is there the potential for money to be wasted within the cap and invest system, and will people be hurt by the cost?
Well, first, I want to note we've been talking about a cap and invest system in Oregon since 2007, and we've actually had pieces of legislation that would have implemented such introduced for the last several sessions. In the last year, during the long session, we had a series of evening hearings where we really had an opportunity to delve into this. Over the last 6 or 8 months, we have had work groups really looking at specific parts of the bill. And I think what we've crafted is a very tight piece of legislation. It has an oversight committee. It has a new legislative committee that would be in charge of climate legislation. So I think there are a lot of parameters and sidebars on it that would ensure that the program moves forward as intended. As Senator DeBoer noted, it's a 3-year implementation. So there's a lot of opportunity to talk about exactly how it should unroll in the process of putting the rules together. I think to wait yet another year simply is a delay. It doesn't get us toward our targets or toward the ability to actually do some meaningful legislation here.
Well, greenhouse gas is obviously not the only thing coming up in this legislative session. Housing seems to be on a lot of people's lists, and it probably should be. As we have talked to county after county on both sides of the state line, one of the things we hear that drives homelessness, because we've been talking to every county about it in the region, is the vacancy rates, sometimes 3%, sometimes 2% in a lot of cities on the Oregon side, just not enough housing out there, certainly not enough affordable housing. And then, Senator DeBoer, how can the legislature address this in this short session, or should it?
Well, during the budget we just passed, we spent a lot of money on helping and assisting people. There's lots of programs that we put in and voted in. The other thing is, you know, the city of Ashland's changed some of their zoning, allowing more smaller houses being built on larger lots.
Cottage housing, for example.
Yeah, which is just a great example of the city doing what it should be doing. You know, when we were building additional housing, we were prohibited from kitchens and stuff, and some of that's curing it. And we passed some state laws that actually aids that process and gives cities some ability to do some of those things. So, and there's a massive amount of apartments going up. I'm working on a couple of pilot projects that I think will really work as these apartment buildings sell. We're trying to put a mechanism in place so that the first buyer could be a nonprofit trust in the city, not the city itself, but they could buy these apartments from people that want to sell them, and we could find out how to get financing. So we put them in a permanent trust that will keep the rents low rather than what we're seeing now, where buyers from out of state come in and pay a fortune for them. Then they're forced to raise the rents because they paid too much, et cetera, et cetera. We have to get them into permanent ownership. That would be, and in my mind, it's a trust. I don't want it to be a city because cities can't manage properties. And I've got plenty of examples of that statement.
All right, let me get Representative Marsh in here.
I think certainly housing was a big focus in the long session. And as Alan noted, we passed $80 million for the LIFT program, which is affordable housing, $40 million for homelessness programs. I think there will be continued focus on this in the short session. We know that there are, as you noted, 1 or 2% vacancy rates in many places across the state. And you know, at bottom line, we're 150,000 housing units short across the state because we stopped building in 2007. And when we started again, we were building at a level less than we need to be doing. We need to be to make up the deficit and to meet current needs. We need to build about 30,000 housing units a year. And we're really now probably in the 15 to 20,000 unit range. The pieces of legislation that I know specifically we're going to be looking at in the short session are an increase to the document recording fee. Currently, you pay $20 every time you record a document down at the county. If we increase that to as much as $75, we could create an additional $75 million per biennium to be invested in affordable housing. That would be significant. We'll also see interesting a program, a first-time homeowners proposal that would allow folks under a certain income level to set aside money for down payments for the purchase of a home in a tax-deferred account. When you look at average home prices and median income in Jackson County, for example, it's not inconceivable that families can actually get into the home ownership market, but they got to come up with $40,000 or $50,000 for that down payment. So that would be an attempt to revive a little bit of the home ownership opportunities available to
sort
people.
Sort of like a retirement account. They wouldn't control the balance directly.
But right. Mm-hmm. But they'd be able to set that money aside and then draw upon it at the moment when they're ready to buy a house. And I would just mention quickly, I have a bill of my own that addresses a different part of the housing crisis, and that is really targeted investments in the housing that already exists across the state. Our home wrap bill, that stands for Weatherization Retrofit Affordability Program, would allow homeowners and nonprofit landlords to receive financial incentives for energy upgrades or renewable investments in their homes or in their rental units. A portion of the money would go to projects that braid energy efficiency and critical repairs, because that's the kind of work we need to do to make sure that all the units that exist across the state provide as good homes as they can that are warm, that are energy efficient, and that last for as long as we can make them last.
Oregon legislature opens up for its short session on February 5th. We're talking to Representative Pam Marsh, Democrat of Ashland, and Senator Alan DeBoer, Republican of Ashland. You can join in with questions or comments or ideas for them to take north to Salem with them on February 5th, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Job creation is on the agendas of some people, not necessarily legislators themselves. Do you see a role for, is there something on the table that you're aware of, Representative Marsh, for job creation for this session?
Well, I think there will be some efforts for specific job sectors. The bill that I just mentioned, the WRAP program, really comes out of the energy efficiency and renewable job sectors, an attempt to keep those entities vital and robust over the next few years, so that we make sure that they are there when we start doing significant climate work. I think not related to job, but certainly related to our economy, is, if I could shift just a little bit, I think there's going to be a big focus on federal tax reform and the way that that impacts both Oregon taxpayers and our budget as a whole. That's probably where we set climate aside. I think that's going to be a next major focus in that session.
That was something else I was going to ask about. Yeah. Senator DeBoer, what job creation and or tax reform?
Well, we'll have to see. I think we're going to get a couple hundred million more out of the Trump's plan. I think actually the state will help. I don't know if home ownership, as an employer, I've done first-time home buyers with employees, very successful program, know how to operate it. It works great. I've got several employees that have houses now that they bought some years ago under my program and understand how it works. The biggest thing is education. Jobs will come and business owners will come where the education system's the best. And so we need to fix our education system within Oregon. And that's actually from birth through K-16 through universities. We can save money by doing things properly. The Department of the Oregon Health Authority and Department of Human Services, two new permanent directors, both of which I know personally, we're going to help fix that system, which will help the homeless, too, because the mental health aspect, as you know, Jackson County had a complete meltdown in their mental health system, which I was deeply involved in. And I'm looking forward to the two new directors of our health systems and create efficiency and to get people the help they need.
So, Senator, what do you see as the single biggest fix needed in the education system?
My bill establishes a group of 16 people to do a 10-year plan, including funding, class size, teacher retention, which is a big thing for me because teachers are dropping out. I think it's almost 40% the first 4 years of teachers are leaving after they spend their 5 years getting their degrees. We need to really value our teachers. I don't know how many bills we passed up in Salem in the last 10 years, but it's in the multitudes that create more hassles for our schools. And so we keep trying to legislate. We need to fix the system. I went to Jackson Elementary with the principal of the year, and the last bill we passed created some problems with kids that lack parental guidance that are problems in the school. And the fix that we did is not working at all. And that's the problem we have, is we try to legislate fixing problems when we really need to hire directors, give them the latitude, and have them do what their job is. And, of course, call them to task when they don't. But a good manager is a quiet person. You don't see it, and you don't see problems. Bad management's when you see problems, like the Betsy credits. I can go over numerous examples.
Okay, once more with the Betsy credits. We have a question here from Mike in Medford. He says, will there be any discussion on a state-run homeless shelter system? The problem is so bad it has become cruel. Funding a slew of nonprofits hasn't worked. That, again, from Mike in Medford. Representative Marsh, some thoughts on that?
Well, it's an interesting idea. I have not heard the suggestion of a statewide system. I think our homelessness issues are pretty specific to our communities. And so I think there's probably going to be a continuation of simply trying to get money and resources to the communities which know best how to address it within the context of our own neighborhoods. But there's no question that homelessness has grabbed the spotlight. This used to be an issue that we saw in an urban core. Now we see it in every neighborhood and every community across the state, just about.
Well, this year is not just about the short session of the legislature. It is also an election year. And Representative Marsh, I notice you have refiled for your position. Senator DeBoer, you as yet have not. Are you planning on running again for a full four-year term for the Oregon Senate?
I will make that decision within the next couple of weeks. So I'm working on that now. I definitely want to stay involved. If I don't run, I'd like to volunteer for the governor and work on the big four problems in the state. I find that voting on 800 bills, most of which are poorly written and don't do what they're supposed to do, is really a waste of their time. Let's fix the big problems. And you talk about homelessness. Let's fix the mental health problem so we can give people the help so they aren't homeless.
All right. We will see if who's running when we get to, a couple weeks from now when the filings close in March. I want to thank you both for joining us. Senator Alan DeBoer, Republican first-termer from Ashland, and Representative Pam Marsh, Democratic first-termer from Ashland. Good to have you both on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thank you so much.
Nice to be here.